I felt like I would like to just say a few words because Keith being here also, and we're just so thrilled with what God is doing, and we're trying to do this thing, but you know it's going to take God to do what we're going to do. We just can't do this by our own mind. We can't make up our own mind we're going to do this, but we should make up our mind that we're going to do this by His power, by His grace, and by His leading. And things are not going to be like they have been in the past. We're not going to build churches and do things and carry on like we've been, because things are changing. Great, tremendous things are changing. Daniel told us about some of those things. I just wanted to warn some of you, if you haven't really understood, God is getting us ready for something different. 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 This is the thing that we've been wanting and looking for, praying about when we see the Word of God. But there's a verse of Scripture here in Daniel, the 11th and the 12th chapter, and then I want to call your attention to another one in the book of Revelation, because that's where we're headed for. We're headed for the book of Revelation. We've already been through a little portion of it, but we're going to go into some of the more difficult parts of it. In the 11th chapter of Daniel, if you would care to turn with it, I'll read it to you. Speaking of the time of the Antichrist and how they will, 31st verse, how they shall pollute the sanctuary of hell, of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, the very thing that Daniel prophesied about concerning the coming of the Messiah was tied right in with that very same thing. And that 70th week of Daniel, that so many people have tried to have it all figured out way back there, it isn't over with yet. That 70 weeks that was allotted to His people isn't over yet. First half of it's over, but the other 3.5 years lies right ahead of us now. I'm sure of that, according to many scriptures. But here it says, they shall do these things. They shall take away the daily sacrifice. They shall place the abomination in the maker's desolate. We've already seen a part of that in a foretaste and a preview in all Antiochus Epiphanes in between. We don't find it in the scripture, but we do find it in the history. And if it hadn't been for that promise of Daniel concerning those times, the Jews would never have been able to stand through that time. The Maccabees would not have been able to stand up and do the thing in that time, but it encouraged and quickened their hearts. But now, that was not, then the Messiah did follow right on top of that. Right on top of that. And He confirmed the covenant with many, for it was to confirm it for 1 week. But He did confirm it for 3.5 years, which is a half of a week. And Jesus, when He stood up to read the scripture, the first time He spoke in the synagogue, opened to the 61st chapter of Isaiah and read that verse, how the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and so on. And in reading it, He got to the very middle of what it was saying and sat down. That's significant when you realize that Jesus only fulfilled a half of that 70 weeks. For 3 years and a half, He confirmed the promises. They knew that this was the Messiah. They knew that this was what God said would come. They saw He who was born of a virgin. And they saw His mighty power. They saw Him still the winds and quiet the waves and such like thing. And their heart was confirmed. But He was cut off in the midst of the week, Daniel said. In the midst of the week. Now, we're talking here now about the further reaches of that. Listen to it. And such as do wickedly, in the 32nd verse, against the covenant, because Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. That is the new covenant that God made with His people. Such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall He corrupt by flattery. Like we're seeing about in the world today, so many of them, the flattering things that were taking place and speaking lies at one table and all the things that are happening right now, preparing for the Antichrist, who will set himself up as God and as all that is worshipped. Such as do wickedly in the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery, but the people that do know their God, the people that do know their God, as is spoken of this morning, I know whom I have believed. Brother Keith brought right to the first. I know whom, not I know about whom or know in whom that, but I know him. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and be confirmed and established in the knowledge of it. But now it says the people that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. The word exploits there is not in the Hebrew, but the things that they do are the things that Jesus said. The things that I do, ye shall do. And greater than these shall ye do. Because he was limited. He was limited in the flesh. Because I go unto the Father, and now I have to do what I have to do, and I'm limited. I'm in a straitjacket. How am I straightened? I'm come to send fire on the earth, but how am I straightened until that be accomplished? But now here we're to Daniel talking about the people of the end time. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do the things that Jesus did and even greater things than he did, because it's going to be have a wider scope. It's going to be many more people operating in this thing that God has called us as workers together with God, and you shall do these things and greater things shall you do. Now don't look at the greater thing, but look at what God is doing through us, and we've got to be yielded to him. They that understand, and that's what the school is about. That's what all our teaching is about. That's why Keith sees things that are different here. We're learning more. We're taking the word. We've gotten out of the traditions of men. We're getting away from the old fixed habits and ways and the meetings and the programs and all of that, beginning to let God move. They that understand among the people shall instruct many. You can't instruct unless you know. To be a teacher, you've got to know some things. You've got to first be taught. That's what we're doing right now. Teaching and learning. And ever learning, because we never know it all. Ministers are learning things they never knew before. I'm learning things daily that I never knew before. Why? Because we're in the end time, the thing that Daniel couldn't see. Go thy way, Daniel. Daniel said, I saw, but I didn't understand. What's all this about? And he said, go your way. It's sealed up until the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end. There's no question about that. I haven't time to prove it to you this morning, but I know it's so. Many of you know it's so. And the world needs to know that it's so. They need to know we're not going to go on forever and ever just for having church. We're going to be in a time where you won't have a church. They won't let you preach. We've got nations now that already are that way. They can't teach it. They can't preach it. They can't openly declare the things of God. And that's coming here now. They're preparing for it. They've declared it. Now they're openly declaring it. And we see it coming. But they'll instruct many. You may not be standing before a pulpit and a mic. They'll take all that away from them. They're taking more radios and television programs away from them. They're going to take more and more and more and more. By one of these days, you'll be telling somebody, maybe not a great crowd, you'll be just telling one another in dark places, hidden places, secret places, or in your own home as best you can, like they are in Russia, and they dash in on them and beat them to pieces over there when they find them. They've got ways of finding them, too, nowadays. They can find you. They just fly over with a helicopter and those sensitive devices and hear what's going on here, and they just swoop down upon them. Those perilous times shall come that Paul was talking about. And the times that Jesus was talking about are about upon us, friends. We've got to get real serious about this thing. Don't think about what we're going to do and what our ministry and what we're going to do. Listen, friend, it isn't going to be that way anymore. Isn't going to be that way anymore. I'm telling you, there won't be anymore. Years ago, they told me, they said, well, brother, it's hard to understand you. You don't preach like the rest of you. You're 20 years ahead of us. Well, you better get 20 years ahead, because a lot of us are 150 years behind. The church should have known this long time ago. Listen. Now when they shall fall, they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, and by spoil. Days. That is a certain number of days, an undetermined number of days. It doesn't say how much. This says many, but it isn't in the Hebrew. Now when they shall fall, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? You've got to have something inside if you're going to be ready for that. Your heart has got to be fixed. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. Your heart had better be fixed. That is, not repaired, fastened down, nailed down to the Word of God and ready to go through. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. God won't forsake these people. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And we've got more flattering, more lying, more conniving today than you ever heard in the world before. And there are certain church elements that are just trying to make themselves the head of this thing. That's just going to draw many, many, many people right back into Babylon. Into the new Babylon. This new Babylon. And some of them of understanding shall fall. We're seeing some of them fall. We're already seeing preachers. I mean men who were strong. I've already turned and now I'm going back into this bigger thing. This bigger thing. Do you know that this great Babylon here is going to be bigger than anything Nebuchadnezzar ever had? It is. Great Babylon, it's called. In the Revelation, in the end time. Bigger than the other one. Whereas a man back there took a stone and cast it into the river Euphrates, the contrast is that in the book of Revelation, speaking of the same thing, only that was only a type of this, and this is so much greater. Like Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater than Babylon is here, and a greater than Nebuchadnezzar is here. Right ahead of us. Instead of a man taking a stone, casting it into the Euphrates, which was more or less local back there, an angel shall take a great millstone and cast it into the sea, the whole world, not just Mesopotamia. The whole world's involved in what's about to take place. Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And it's an appointed time, according to the words in the Hebrew says, an appointed time. And the king, all right, now, take you over to the 12th verse. I want to read one more here. I'll try to get through here. This thing just means so much, and it seems like the people know so little about it that I just don't know how in the world it's going to be done, but I know God will have to do it. He said he would do it. He said he would do it. In the 7th verse of the 12th chapter, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which was an angel, but it didn't call him an angel, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, it shall be for a time, times and a half. Another place it calls the time, times and a dividing of time. Another place it calls it for 1,260 days. And in the book of Revelation, time and the dividing of time, also there is 42 months or 3.5 years, the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, when Jesus finishes confirming his covenant to the people. And the rapture takes place just prior to that time. And during that time were those with him in heaven, those on the earth as the son, the one likened to the Son of God that was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Jesus is going to be with those who are left here in the great tribulation. But God is going to see them through. But not only that, there's going to be many other people that are going to be converted out of that time. And at the end of that time, there's a great army is going to be stand up, because they're going to be killing them all over the world. They're going to destroy those two witnesses. And they're not just two persons. Not Enoch and Elijah, and not Moses and Elijah, and none of that. It's two witnesses of people that are going to be witnessing for God during that time. And they're going to kill them all through that 3.5 year, over all the face of the earth, all the cities of the world where Jesus is crucified afresh and where Jesus is renounced, and people are turning back, and there's a great apostasy taking place among a lot of them. They're going to be killing those who are refused to take the mark of the beast and to receive the number of his name and go along with him, or to in their right hand to fellowship with them. They're going to be killed, but at the end they're going to stand up and be found in another place, and I'll show you that place in just a minute. One thing I wonder right here. Times and half, and he shall have accomplished, until when he shall have accomplished, that is when God will have accomplished, brought to pass, to scatter the power of the holy people. To scatter the power of the holy people. You remember in the very first church, they had power, and God went with them, working with them, signs following and so on, but right at first, they'd be having that power right there in Jerusalem, and they're all gathering together there in one group, and God allowed persecution to come upon them and to scatter them, and they went everywhere. Do you see what happened? Just as soon as they got the message, just as soon as they got the power, just as soon as they're filled with the Holy Ghost, just as soon as they became thrilled and not afraid to speak that which we've seen and heard, no matter if they were going to kill them or beat them or put them in prison, they were going to speak it anyway. We cannot help but just speak those things which we've seen and heard. Boldness, holy boldness which they have. But you know, just as soon as they got that plague, God scattered them. And they went everywhere preaching the word. Otherwise, they'd have still been in Jerusalem, a great big church in Jerusalem, right around about it. But it went everywhere, and some of them way out. And when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon them, there were people out of every nation under heaven that were there and heard and saw what they did, and they got converted, went back home and told about it, and the gospel has been going ever since. And Israel, whom God scattered, has been being gathered for 2,000 years back into the church. You won't find Israel any place but in the church. Don't go over to Palestine to find Israel. You look at the church of God, those who are following Jesus, you'll find Israel. The Israel of God, Paul calls them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Children of Abraham by faith. But where are all those 10 tribes that God scattered, that he said he would gather? He that scattered Israel shall gather him. Where is he? You know, the church hasn't dealt with that problem. But he's been gathered. He's been gathered. He's been gathered. When they come, when they see that, when they hear this, they grasp. They lay hold of it. They lay hold, and he's even opened the doors to the Gentiles and allowed them to come in. Whosoever will, out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. But listen, he'll scatter the power of the Holy. He's going to scatter the power. We are going to get power. There's going to be a man-child raised up that's got power. But God's going to scatter that power. He's going to take out a bride in the company out of that man-child and the rest of them. God's going to be with them. And he's going to prepare a place for them in the wilderness where they'll be fed for that time and half. But they're still going to be killing the witnesses. They're still going to be killing the witnesses. You see, and not everybody's witnesses. Everybody just can't witness. And everybody doesn't witness. Everybody doesn't know enough to witness. Everybody doesn't understand or know, and you don't have knowledge. They that understand shall teach others, you know. They that know. But that's what we're here for, that we might instruct many, that we might do part of that word. Now I want to show you another picture here in Revelation 7. And in the ninth verse, you see the rapture's already taken place. The bride and her company is already gone. The man child has been snatched out. Hearing this, and they see that 144,000 a little later on, but they've already been there. But now in this ninth verse, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, hallelujah, from the beginning, because we're all children of Adam, who was promised that God would send a child born of a virgin, the woman's seed, and it would crush the serpent's head, that he would be glorified. There, he made a way of salvation for his people. Right from the beginning, you know, and out of them, God has been calling people ever since. But now, especially in the end time, giving them one more chance to come. Because there is coming a time in the last of Revelation when it says, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is holy be holy still, because it's too late now to start changing. It's too late now. You're either in or you're out. It's already been fixed. The whole thing has already come to a conclusion. It's time for God's great judgment and God's great kingdom. But listen to this. Stood this whole great people that no man can number before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, righteousness of saints, and palms in the hand, victory, victory. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. They're attributing their salvation and all salvation to their God. Their God. Salvation attributed to God only. Not to your works and my works or to any church or the church, what the church did, but attributed to God. God is the Savior. God is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Therefore, Jesus is God. Cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, this great company that nobody could number, because they've been telling you about other companies and other groups and the elders and the four living creatures or beasts, as they call them there, or living creatures proper. One of the elders said, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, the righteousness of saints, and where did they come from, and when did they get into it? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John didn't know. John didn't know. He said, but you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Out of the great tribulation. Not out from, out of. Not as those others whom Jesus said, I will keep because you have known my name and have not had a little strength and have not denied my name and have kept my word. I'll keep you from that hour of temptation, that hour with the beast, that 42 months, that times and a half a time, that 1260 days. I'll keep you from that, because that's terrible. Just like they kept Daniel from the fiery furnace, but the three Hebrew children had to go through it. Daniel wasn't there. Daniel just wasn't there. He really was there, but the scriptures have him absent. Why? Because he was, last we saw of him, he was sitting in the gate of the king. He was above the rest of them. The king had made him above the rest of them. But these came out of the great tribulation. And they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They gave their lives. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, Jesus told them. Martyrs for God during the tribulation. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. You see, they're members of the body of Christ also, because this Christ, as we speak of Jesus in the body, we are all members of his body. He is the temple of God. He is the temple of God. And these also now are in the temple. They also now have become members of the body of Christ with those who went out, with the bride and the rest of them, all members of the body of Christ. They shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. In the midst of the throne, that is, he's sitting in the very central place of the throne of God, because he's God. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Are you ready for this? Don't get your eyes on churches and church programs, no matter how big and how wonderful it is. This is not going to last. He's going to scatter the power of the holy people, but he's got to teach them, he's got to instruct them, so that they can instruct many, and so that when the great tribulation does come, and if those who are left can know something about what's going on, and uphold one another, strengthen one another, and declare, our God is able, but if not, we will yet not serve your fall down and worship your image. If you're not ready for that, you're not ready, friends. Get ready, because we're near to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus in the great tribulation.
Hallelujah. Call Stan. Stan is closer. He that watereth is nothing, he that planteth is nothing, but God who giveth the increase, and he's everything. Hallelujah. While the piano's playing this morning, I'd like to make a plea for anybody here that would like to give their life to Jesus Christ. Very true, very true. Man's efforts are nothing unless God does it. We're not here to build an empire, to build a church, but we're here for you that want to know Jesus Christ. As a whole purpose for our existence, once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, to emanate him, that he might be our all in all. As he is our all in all, we find that we are no longer caring about our own self, but rather concerned that others might come to know Jesus as we do. So this morning, as you've heard the word of God, you maybe recognize the need in your life. If you don't, you still need to make a decision. Because God is here that he might make you his child, and might make you his own dear son or daughter. Possibly you've heard the word this morning. You've seen the joy of the Lord on the faces of the people. You've experienced maybe the presence of God. Seen him moving among a people that open up their hearts to the Lord. It's not in them, it's what Jesus does in them. And if you don't know him this morning, and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you are outside. You are lost. The scripture says that you are lost. You are not saved, but ready only for condemnation. But this morning, Jesus wants to save your soul. He wants to deliver you from sin and give you a new life. He wants to deliver you from death, that you will never die, as Jesus said. If you believe in him, you'll never die. But God will deliver you and give you new life in him. If you're here this morning, you hear the cry of the Spirit to your heart. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. I'd ask you now to raise your hand, and we'll ask you to come forward to pray at the altar. Surrender your life to Jesus as we pray with you. Are you here this morning? Christians are praying. Is anybody here wants to give their life to Jesus Christ? I'd like to make him Lord and Master. Not be outside, but be inside. Knowing God. Not separated, but at one with him. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I ask you now, raise your hand, submit your life to God, surrender to Him, give everything over to God. Don't go your own way. Out in the darkness, death, separation from God, not even knowing what is going on. Because, brother,